Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't got a dime to my name. What a terrible shame. Ho hum. Ho ho hum. Just found a hole in my shoe when my stocking shows through. Ho hum. Ho ho hum. I know that when you're as free as a bird in a tree, life is a wonderful whim. Look at the crank with his dough in the bank. Don't you feel sorry for him? Rolling along at a loss, never gathering moss. Ho hum, ho 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 hum. No terrific success, I ought to worry, I guess. Ho hum, ho ho hum. I like a shady old tree. What's the matter with me? Ho hum, ho ho hum. There's nothing quite as grotesque as a man at a desk, looking outside at the sun. Shirts made of silk and a diet of milk. Maybe he thinks he has fun. I've got the vagabond itch. I guess I'll never get rich. Ho hum. Ho 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 ho.
Ho hum. Hey, everybody. James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective. Here tonight, if it's Tuesday, and I think it is, and it's 7 o'clock or around that, we're more than likely live, and it's Blog Talk Radio with the Patriot Nation Radio Studios. BlogTalkRadio.com. If you're not listening now, I mean, you know how to get there, and just tell your friends maybe. BlogTalkRadio.com, and you go to Patriot Nation Radio. And you'll find ACP there live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern. Well, yesterday, the President of the United States made the announcement that this evening at 9 o'clock, he was going to address the nation from the Oval Office concerning the issues of the government shutdown and the border wall and border security, which really is a very, very fundamental component of national security. And as soon as he does this, as soon as he says, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, I'm going to talk to the American people about what's going on with the wall and, what these Democrat jackwagons are trying to do to sandbag the whole operation. So the networks go, not on my network, you ain't orange man. And everybody, and they all start puffing up and signifying, they're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. And here's some, I don't know who these people are. I really don't. One of them is a guy named David Gregory, and he's been at CNN for a long time. I'm not going to call these people journalists. I'm not going to even call them reporters because they're just dunderheads, network dunderheads. It's this guy Gregory and a couple of peroxide blonde, one each, take them off the shelf, CNN standard issue info babes. And this is they're talking amongst themselves as they have just gotten the news that the president's going to be talking to the country. Here's how they. Oh my God. Anyway, check this out.
You know, the Mandarins in the Democratic Party is still going to look at.
All right, so this is just into CNN because we've learned the president wants a primetime address tomorrow amid this shutdown as he is planning a trip to the border on Thursday. David, what do you think this could be about? Is he going to get this?
I don't know. I don't know that he will. I don't know what the basis will be to do that other than to you know, raise awareness that he's already raised a lot of around his view of border security, what he calls a national emergency without any real basis. If he wants to make a push toward fulfilling a campaign promise, it's certainly valid for him to do that as president when he campaigned hard on this, but in the middle of a shutdown to insert this as the idea it's a national emergency that requires asking for time. You know, it's not unprecedented. We got into this, Gloria and I were talking about this, during the height of the Iraq War, President Bush started to ask for time to offer an update on the progress of the war. And there was a lot of pushback from the networks, whether all we talk about broadcast networks, then now we really talk about the cable networks being the center of the action in terms of the news world, whether they're going to grant that time. I don't know.
Because, Gloria, we just spelled out how what he's saying actually does not hold water, his
right.
push for the wall.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what the networks are going to be looking at. Okay, are we giving him time to say something that, you know, if this is what he's going to say, it's untrue?
Or is he going to call for a national emergency,
right.
which, and you were just talking to Susan Hennessy about this, is it a national emergency? And, of course, if the networks were to give him time, and that's by no means guaranteed,
right.
what do you do about Nancy Pelosi? I mean, she's got to be able to talk as well. So it's curious to me because he is going to the border on Thursday. He does want to make his case. Does he want to call for a national emergency? What will the Democrats say about that? And will the networks say this is legitimate or this is not legitimate?
You have to prove your basis for what is a national emergency. He's not announcing sending troops to war. He's not announcing that kind of action. I don't know that Nancy Pelosi would have to be given time, but I also think this is such an old... But it's such an old notion, the idea that you're going to ask the broadcast networks for time. You know, in the news world, it's the cable networks that matter most. The broadcast networks are disinclined to give that kind of time unless it's a really big deal because they're in the middle of their primetime entertainment program.
We have so much more to talk about with you guys, so stick around for me. We have a stunt.
CNN, sweetheart, sometimes after listening to you for a little bit, I just have to walk away and try and shake the vapors out of my head. Okay, well, here's the deal. Again, I think at the beginning of this segment, I called them network dunderheads, and that's exactly right. As you are probably well aware of by now, all the networks are going to be televising this address. Everybody, CNN. Brian Stelter. He's got his own show. I can't even remember what it's called. He's this George Costanza looking lump, and they were talking like they're not going to air. The president of the United States wants to address the nation. Now, prior to making this announcement, there had been hints. Trial balloons, whatever you want to call them, about the possibility of declaring a national emergency. And under those auspices, the president can get done what needs to be done. Congress is off the hook fundamentally, and then we can work on this budget debate for the government shutdown without the pressure of worrying about the wall, because construction will have already begun. Again, and we don't know what he's going to say. He campaigned on this particular issue. A week ago, he publicly acknowledged to Rush Limbaugh and throughout the media that this is one of the things that got me elected, and I'm committed to this. So it's mission critical. And if there is a compromise that is not, what he said it was going to be, this compromise is going to have to be really, really tasty, or people are going to lose faith. People are going to walk away. And I don't think that's a good idea. At least I don't think it would be prudent, not at this juncture. But again, we'll see what he says tonight. And the Democrats, let's continue on with this in this present vein. Joel Pollack from Breitbart has a couple of things that he thinks if the president is really looking to drive home the seriousness of what's happening at the border. He's come up with 7 points that need to be addressed that would explain why we need this wall, this physical barrier at the U.S.-Mexico border. And he also needs to explain to the American people very clearly, why he is refusing to consider bills to end the government shutdown unless they pony up the money that he needs. These are the 7 things that the president needs to address. The first one is this. The border issue is about national security. The first priority of the government, national security. Americans are used to fights over immigration policy. This is different. The nation faces a crisis at its southern border. The drug cartels are taking advantage of our open border to smuggle drugs, weapons, and people. Slavery. They call it human trafficking. Slavery. They're also in the middle of this bloody civil war between the cartels and the Mexican government that is bleeding over into our country. And everything the government does, everything that it does, is secondary to protecting the country. There is literally no point to opening the government until politicians are prepared to take care of the government's first priority. Protecting the country. He needs to point out that the first victims of the Mexican cartels are the migrants and the countries from which they come. The cartels are brutal. They slaughter innocent civilians. They rape the women and girls they're trafficking to criminals within the United States. The drugs. They sneak into the U.S., kill thousands of Americans each year. And the developing countries that these migrants leave behind become poorer. And Democrats, like Senator Patrick Leahy, who say that there's no national emergency on our southern border, are encouraging the cartels to continue. There is nothing moral, or humane about an open border. Number three, the border crisis has nothing to do with legal immigration, which is what we embrace. Police Corporal Roniel Singh, a Newman, California police officer and a legal immigrant, was murdered the day after Christmas by an alleged illegal alien. Many Americans want less immigration. And that's a debate for another day. Regardless, Americans respect legal immigrants. And we should reform our immigration laws, including those that allow foreigners to claim amnesty as soon as they touch American soil. Corporal Roniel Singh gave his life to defend the rule of law. And that's what's at stake. Illegal immigration hurts all Americans, but especially legal immigrants, minorities, and the poor. With better border enforcement, black and Hispanic unemployment is the lowest ever. And wages are rising for all Americans. Those gains are threatened by illegal aliens who compete with U.S. citizens and legal immigrants for jobs. Illegal immigration also hurts public health care and education, as illegal aliens place additional burdens on services that are already struggling. We can have a generous welfare state, or we can have open borders, but we cannot have both. Democrats are hypocrites. Many Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, have voted for a barrier at the border in the past. Border walls, fences, they're not immoral, as Speaker Nancy Pelosi keeps saying, nor are they racist. They work, which is why the European Union builds them, why our ally Israel builds them, why even developing countries in Africa build them. The main reason Democrats oppose a barrier at the border is because they don't want President Trump to have a political win. They are making this personal. They have made their fight with personality over policy. Solid, common sense, pro-national security, because that's what border security really is, policy. And we've got to do something right now, because Democrats and Republicans both have consistently failed on this issue in the past. Many Democrats want open borders because they see illegal aliens as future voters. Many donor class Republicans have tolerated illegal immigration because of burdens or because of the business demand for cheap labor. And that's why both parties have overlooked the laws they voted to pass and ignored the wishes of the American people. In 2011, President Barack Obama told Congress, "I strongly believe that we should take on once and for all the issue of illegal immigration." They did nothing, and we can no longer wait. And finally, let the engineers design a barrier that works. The wall shouldn't be a Democrat or Republican issue. It shouldn't be a budget issue. Democrats are fighting over a mere $5 billion when their own budget will spend tens of billions more in excess of the White House request on other items like foreign aid. The wall, the fence, whatever they want to call it, is really nothing more than an engineering problem. We should let experts make their recommendations about what kind of physical barriers to build at each point along the border. Let the engineers do their jobs. And let's put America first. So this evening, and plus on Thursday, the president's going to be, he's going to be going to the border. Now, that, the president going to the border, I mean, is a really good example of some of the theater that takes place in politics. That this is a lot of show here. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the president should not go to the border. He's aware of what's going on. But the symbolism here of reminding the American people that he is aware. That's why we're in the middle of this government shutdown, is because the Democrats are holding out on this wall, this barrier. And this wall, this barrier is what 64 million Americans put Donald Trump in the White House for. So was there a mandate? Yes, there was a mandate. There were a number of different mandates in his campaign. And these were serious, responsible, positive mandates for change. And one of those mandates for change had to do with border security. And up until recently, that was kind of like code. If you heard Democrats or Republicans, for that matter, talking about border security when they were on the news, on the Democrat side, that meant they weren't talking about a wall. No, we're not talking about a wall. And on the Republican side, yeah, it fundamentally meant the same thing. But now think about this. 63, almost 64 million Americans voted for Donald Trump. This was one of the reasons why. Now, what do we see here? We see Donald Trump, President of the United States, standing upon principle because he understands what the border wall means on a number of different levels. First and foremost, in terms of national security, yeah, big deal. Gotta have it. Excuse me. So we see him making this stand. We saw him making Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer look like rubes in the White House press conference where he was talking about the issue of the border wall and how, you know, whether or not the government shuts down was going to be contingent upon whether or not we got the necessary funding to get a good start on the wall in the continuing resolution. Well, the Democrats weren't in a mood to compromise, so they didn't when we're moving into the third week of our government shutdown. The government's been shut down, partial shutdown, which means fundamentally, if we look at it across the board, take gigantic government, big as it is, and honestly, it would boggle your mind how big the federal government is. But reduce that number by 25%, which is still, so that means we're operating our government at 75% this year. But that 75% this year is still bigger than last year's government. You're getting your mail. You're getting your checks. Medicaid and Medicare doing their things. income tax return check's going to go out. The president says, don't worry about it. We got it. It's going to be, we're going to handle it. So all these cats are screaming bloody murder about how we're going to die and the sky is falling and this thing is terrible, folks. This thing isn't terrible. Now, there are negatives to it, to be fair. The government employees who are right now without a paycheck immediately after Christmas, and the guys that are forced to work and forego a paycheck, getting back pay, you know, when the government's restored to its full non-essential glory. And there are many, many of those. I think there were 400,000 who were furloughed and close to 400,000, 390-some thousand who are working without a paycheck. I may have those numbers inverted, but that's what the average is. And that's a lot of folks. And that's a lot of folks who are going to be hurting financially. Remember, Christmas was just a couple weeks back. Credit card purchases, maybe, thinking they're going to get paid off at the end of the year. And now that money's going to be tough to, you know, things are going to be tough. And interest payments are going to go up on those credit cards. And these people are going to be hurting. And they're going to be hurting for months after this gets resolved. If this gets resolved anytime soon. But make no mistake about it, this is a Schumer-Pelosi shutdown. They have allowed their disdain, their contempt, their hatred for the president and you and I, and basically all of America, because the policies that we're trying to put in place or reform are policies designed to benefit all American citizens, Republican or Democrat, but no, these people would gladly sacrifice the president and the country and its citizenry at the altar of their political ideology. Make no mistake about that. I think what we're going to do is I'm going to cut to the music a little early. I am dry. Not exactly sure what's going on with the pipes, but nonetheless, here's what we're going to do. It was a cold and frosty morning, January 8th, 1935, in Tupelo, Mississippi. And on that day, twin sons were born to Vernon and Gladys Presley. Their names were Jesse Garin, who did not survive, and their only child, Elvis Aaron Presley, a young man who went on to become and maintain the title of the undisputed king of rock and roll. And today, we celebrate his birth, and we will be back with more of ACP right after this.
Thank you very much. Take it on. Thank you. I'm a steamroller, baby. I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm a steamroller, baby. I'm bound to roll. Gonna inject your soul, sweet rock and roll. I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn, a burning font. I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn, a burning font. I'm a demolition derby, a hefty hog, steamy job. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Elvis, let your hair down, babe. Okay, well, we're back. I keep going over this whole deal with what we see in this dynamic. It's been demonstrated, and what I'm talking about is this theater that the White House engages in. And everybody does, don't get me wrong, I'm not singling out the White House. And actually, I am admiring of their usage and how they're staying on message. And more importantly than that, getting the point out to the American people. Because it has become abundantly clear over the last 8 to 13 years that we no longer can rely on the mainstream media, the establishment media, and I'm throwing Fox in there too. We simply can't. And it was something that the president saw early on in his campaign. That's why he goes to Twitter. That's why he does what he does. And that's why the media and the Democrats and everybody else hate him, because he is circumventing the gatekeepers. That's why he's addressing the country tonight at 8 o'clock, and I encourage you, tune it in. I'm going to have a satellite radio on. You can bet I'm going to be listening to this. Now, afterward, and I think it would be worth listening to as well, will be the Democrat response, as if this were the State of the Union. Pelosi and Schumer demanded equal time, and naturally, you know they're going to get it. So Schumer and Pelosi demand response time. They get it. And they're going to respond to what the president says. Now, not dead air. I'm still here. There's going to be a certain entertainment value to listening and watching it. And you know what? I'm going to listen, because I'm a radio guy and that's how we disseminate here. But I'm sure it's going to be fun to watch as well, if you've got any students of body language out there. Nancy Pelosi, and in terms of this response, this is what I predict is going to happen. It's going to be, although they're not going to be in the same room together like they were at that press conference and initial negotiation over the wall funding in the continuing resolution that they had at the White House a couple of weeks back, but it's going to be very similar. The president's going to come on, and the president is going to speak directly and concisely to the point. Now, Is he going to declare a national emergency? Because again, that's one way he can get around this. The only thing I can say about this, and again, we're talking about theater. And this is all very theatrical here. We don't know what he's going to say. We don't know if he's going to declare a national emergency. I am inclined, myself, and I've been wrong, you know, oh, God. Anyway, my instinct says, yes, he's going to address the people. He's going to speak briefly, because it's not going to be very long. It's only going to be about 8 or 9 minutes. He's going to come right to the point. He's going to list the threats or the reasons why he's decided to declare national emergency on this and get it done. And they're going to be valid well thought out, cogent points that he makes. He's going to present his case. He's going to do a very good job of it. It's going to be put in such a manner that a broad spectrum of the American people are going to listen, and it's going to resonate with them because that's how they feel. Guys, he should have done this sooner. And I'm not exactly sure, and a lot of people, they talk about, you know, you got to save that capital, you know, all the times that Barack Obama addressed the nation, touting Obamacare, touting cash for clunkers, every other screwball kook idea that they had. Well, you're expending your capital as president, and yeah, certainly. But what good is it to be the president if you do not engage in that bully pulpit? And speak to the conscience of the majority. Speak directly to the people. Ronald Reagan was outstanding at it. People ridicule George Bush as being kind of a lower intellect. I'm not so sure. I think he too was as effective a communicator as any president we've had in the 20th century. Bill Clinton was excellent at it. Barry O was a pretty smooth operator too. He's going to come out. He's going to plead his case. He's going to speak. I believe that he will declare national emergency, and he will take steps immediately to mobilize whatever the assets are, the men, the material, the equipment, military, civilian, whatever they need to be down there and begin work on this. The Democrats are going to scream bloody murder, but if the president declares national emergency, that's that, and it's not going to matter because of these things, because of A, B, and C, and thus forward to X and Y. I have decided to declare a national emergency on our southern border, and we're taking steps to correct this terrible wrong. And you have the Democrats over here going, nuh-uh, no. No, we don't think it's an emergency, so nuh-uh, you're wrong. No. And some Weisenheimer invariably will decide that you're going to sue, and it'll fall to a sympathetic judge, and it'll take years to litigate, and meanwhile, that wall is still going to keep on being built. If that's the way it goes, I don't know. This cat's pretty squirrely. Just when you're thinking he's going to zig, he zags. But I believe, sorry about that. I got this pop screen that's on a spring-necked goose melt. And it's anyway, I think that's how it's going to play out. And I think that in the response that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer give, it's just going to be disjointed, mumbo-jumbo, Trump bad, we hate Trump, Trump die. And that's about what you're going to get. But the thing of it that's going to lend it gravitas or legitimacy is you're going to have people like these dunderheads I talked about earlier on CNN, the likes of which, and you know, Don Lemon and those of that ilk, rubbing their chin with thumb and forefinger going, yes, yes. Political genius on the level of Jefferson. Mother of pearl. But they constantly underestimate this guy. Remember, back to theater. Donald Trump is the most successful reality television producer in the history of the medium. That means ever in the galaxy. He understands a story arc. He understands how to manipulate events. When they met at the White House, when Nancy and Chuck met him at the White House, that was a masterful display of Donald Trump's negotiating prowess. Did he get what he wanted? Not exactly. Did he make them look like stoops? Oh, yes. And he continues to do it. And they help him. They help him along the way. So, yeah, make sure you watch. You watch him tonight. You watch the, excuse me, and watch Schumer and Pelosi's response as well. Everybody, and this is where we go. It's personality. It's not policy. Everybody. Democrats, Republicans, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, Barack Obama, who surprisingly voted yay rather than present. Was a thing, there was a law, an act called the Secure Fence Act of 2006. It passed the House. It was supported by 64 House Democrats. It passed the Senate by a wider margin. So, the Fence Act was to achieve operational control of the border. What's that mean? Well, that means this. In terms of the this particular act, the Secure Fence Act, the term operational control means the prevention of all unlawful entries into the United States, including entries by terrorists, other unlawful aliens, instruments of terrorism, narcotics, another contraband. Now, when it comes to this particular act, the Secure Fencing Act, and its definition of operational control, or the Secure Fence Act, two layers of reinforced fencing. So, they didn't say wall in the bill. That word wasn't mentioned. But two layers of reinforced fencing. Now, the border between East and West Berlin in town was a wall. Between East and West Germany, it was a fence. And they were both pretty tough to get across. The difference basically in construction of what, you know, the new watchword now is barrier. So all these people who say that this is bad, who tell us that this is immoral, and shame on us for wanting to do it, are the very same people just a few years back that voted and supported and were in favor of the exact same identical concept that we're talking about today. Sorry, I get agitated sometimes. All right, but what I was trying to say was, these people supported this concept back then. And that's what we're talking about. It's the same thing. Border security. I like this term, operational control. We know who's coming in. We know who's not supposed to be here. And we catch them at or near the border. And when we catch them, we send them back to where they came from. You know the wall works. So do I. The Democrats know it. Everybody knows it. Nancy Pelosi has a wall around her home, which is probably in a community that has a wall around it. The same thing with the Obamas. The same thing with the Trumps, the Bushes, the Kennedys. Of course it works. The Democrats want power, and they will trade government largesse for votes. And that's their plan with what they're trying to do by having an open border. They are aware of the criminal element in its various forms that move through this caravan. Gangs, drug smugglers, slavers, terrorists, bad people. Are they all bad people? Every single one of them? No. But there are a lot of them that are very, very bad. Very bad. Operational control of the border, though, increases exponentially our potential in catching these cats before they can get in the country and make any serious mischief and hurt, kill, rape, rob. We can head it off before it even happens. So you have this, excuse me, you have this media arm of the Democrat Party and the progressive left that we see all the time telling us this is not a big deal. These are the people that they talk about on the Statue of Liberty. You're tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses yearning to be free. No, no it ain't. Those tired and poor and yearning masses, those huddled masses yearning to be free, they understood that freedom meant being able to exercise the freedom of making your way in the world. How you want to do that? Not government entitlements. I do not understand, because the Democrats are not stupid people. They're aware. They know just like we know that you have this element within these invasion caravans. They know. They're not ignorant. They turn a blind eye because, again, they'll gladly sacrifice America and its citizens at the altar of their political ideology. Not dead air, I'm here. But only for a couple of minutes longer. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here early. Feeling a little hoarse, and I know it's coming across on the mic, and I apologize for that. Not exactly sure what's going on here. Hopefully we'll have it fixed by Thursday. ACP is heard Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. Patriot Nation Radio is what you type in, and you find ACP here. Huh. excuse me, also TalkAmericaRadio.org. TalkAmericaRadio.org, you go there, there are two audio streams, the Liberty and the Justice stream, and ACP is heard there on either one at various times throughout the day and the week. I think that's about all we got. We're down to the last couple minutes. I want to thank you guys for joining us this evening. God bless each and every one of you. Make sure you stay tuned and listen to the president at 9, and do please listen to Chuck and Nancy and their response, their well thought out, reasoned, lucid, articulate. Ah, well, you know what I'm talking about. Listen to them mumble. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. We will be back on Thursday, hopefully in better voice, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. See you then.